Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our guest speaker.
Well, it's sure good to be here. I guess you could say I'd rather be here than in jail, but you know, that wouldn't be entirely true. I'm one of the few people you'll ever meet who, I just love jail, you know, I can't stay out. I've done a lot of things that should have put me in there and kept me in there. I had to share a story with you. When I graduated from college, you have honors, things like that. I graduated, thank you, Lordy, which is a special decree that you get. And they were happy that all the staff was there waving me goodbye when I left. But I got a job in a town just west of here. And the reason I got the job is they were looking for someone. And the educational director of my school, who I happened to knock unconscious just weeks before in a softball game, told me about the job. He was eager to see me leave too. So I came to Florida, and I actually hitchhiked on 26, going to this town. And it was a long interview. The principal handed me the application and said, the job's yours if you want it. So it's real quick. I was able to get out of there pretty quick. And I took the job. But, you know, I really like science a lot. I like medicine. I practiced for about 30 years and with a man that I admire very much. And God brought us together for some pretty exciting things. But, you know, when I was working there, the county didn't have a lot of money for supplies and stuff like that. And North Carolina, where I grew up, you know, dogs were pretty special. You know, kind of worshipped, you know, you have a dog and take them hunting or let them run around the neighborhood or whatever. But so I got thinking, you know, I'd like to have some way of demonstrating, you know, anatomy to my biology students. And so I worked toward that end, and so I was able to, you know, reach my goal. And then the principal came in, he said, Mr. Prevett, I understand you did this procedure today in the classroom. Whose cat was that? I said, I don't know. You don't know whose cat that was? I said, no, sir, I don't. Did the cat live? No, sir, but I used chloroform. I did. Local physician gave it to me. Cat felt no pain, but he taught us a lot. And not long after that, they had this thing that they did where the state of Florida decided to kind of go head-to-head with the governor. They wanted more money for education, and the idea was is that you would submit your resignation as a, you know, wink, wink, you know, thing, support of the students. And this was across the state. This wasn't just there. And at the end of the walkout, you know, the county would tear up your resignation, except mine got lost in the shuffle and actually got kept, which really offended the fool out of me. Well, not unexpected. But I got to tell you, God is at work even in our failures and our stupid decisions. And I ended up at the University of Florida, and the doors opened wide. It was just amazing. I was able to teach here at Gainesville High School. And then as I pursued medicine, other doors opened up. But God has been good. He's led me through a lot of things and made my life rich, and a word I never heard from the pulpit, robust. God has blessed me in ways that I can hardly fathom. My wife at the present time, Dee, most of you know her, is babysitting four of our grandchildren. Our son and daughter-in-law landed last night coming from Brazil. The pastor has been there, and maybe the etiology of his issue. Just a guess. It's a medical guess, but it's just a guess. But anyway, she's there, and I just want to say publicly, she's amazing. She homeschooled our children, and Robert led that pack, and just an amazing person, man of God, and got accepted to the University of Florida from homeschool. First child to ever do that. And he has been a blessing. I don't know who taught you to play the guitar, but you do a good job, Robert. And Michael, of course, and all down the line, Paul, Christopher's over here a lot. God's doing a great work in Christopher's life. And Polly and Sally, Joshua. And we're just really blessed. Dee had some friends of hers come up from Alabama where they had moved, and they came in and visited, and we had lunch. And so I asked the blessing, and as I usually do, you can ask my children, I named every child and grandchild, you know. When I finished, I opened my eyes, and they were still there, which was really good because there's 17 grandchildren. There's about a total of 31. I name them all. And the husband of this lady that Dee's good friends with said, that's impressive. And I said, well, I draw attention to my children because I love them. Our family is tight. And God is faithful. So I want to say this morning, I want to be clear about something. And Michael, I'm going to be in Joshua 1. Before the service is over, I'm going to invite you into a relationship with Jesus Christ because you need him, as a friend of mine is fond of saying, more than your next breath of air. That's why I go to the jail. I want to talk this morning a little bit. I don't know whether Michael put the topic of my talk today up. If you want to type it real quick. If I had a topic, it would be, in days like these, how should we live? In times like this, being the people of God, we live in a world that's, frankly, in a tailspin. And up is down, and down is up, and right is left, and left is right. And I will say this, just to begin, I think where we start in all this confusion is that men ought to be men. And women ought to be women. That men ought to be men and men of God. And that women need to be women of God. Folks, we've lost our youth, unfortunately, and our college students, and many of those who are running the country to technology, to the internet, to Facebook, to all the things I don't know about, but I know they're out there. Just on the phone this morning, I get news. Occasionally, I look at it, and one of them said that Facebook basically knew the damage they were doing and did nothing about it. We believe almost anything we want to. If it's said loud enough and often enough, it's become true. One of the things we need to remember in our world is the devil is a liar. He will lie to me, and he has. He will lie to you, and he's good at it. You think about it, if you watch TV at all, how much is sold to you? The car you ought to drive? the food you ought to eat. We have lizards talking to us. I don't mind if you run over that thing if you see it on the road. We have dogs telling us to eat beans. I used to think Mr. Ed was cute, but we're way beyond that, you know. But this is the world we live in. And you know what? I think the devil just laughs because he says, you know, I mean, commercials are amazing. They really are. But it's interesting to me how they've stepped up. Just recently, I saw one that is just beyond belief. But there's hidden dialogue in the things we see and hear. And we need to filter the things that we see and hear. And we need to cast down these imaginations, if you will. And begin to get back to the Word of God. So I'm going to share just a few things with you here, actually probably more than a few. And if I wear two pair of glasses, do not be afraid. Honey, don't leave, okay? I need you. But in the book of Joshua, the first chapter, years ago, I learned this scripture, and it's become more and more important to me as we go down the road. And the reins is being passed on to Joshua. And so what he's saying here is that the book of Joshua, first chapter, let's start with verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, Joshua 1:6. For unto this people shall I divide for an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. 7th verse. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. One of the things that I think permeates our world is fear. You know, you're going to have enough money when you retire. What about Medicaid and Medicare? What about the rising cost of gas? What about the rising cost of food? What are you going to do? And of course, you know, you have all these people that come on and say, we can make your retirement safe. We can do this, this, and this. call us right away. We have football players who apparently are not doing all that well, who are telling you to call this number, and you may get $100 more a month on your Social Security. These are desperate times. If you read between the lines, you will see that some of the bricks are falling out of the society that we have built. Slowly but surely, they're crumbling. Years ago, I had the chance to visit for a while in Waymo, Switzerland, with a man by the name of Francis Schaeffer. He had some awesome things to say, and frankly, they really spoke to me and still do. And one of them was the fact that we have we have segmented our world in a very tragic way. We have art. We have music. We have philosophy. We have finance. We have, science is a big deal. We're worried about students and getting enough math and things like that. And down on the end somewhere is religion. And, you know, the general feeling is God help those people. You know, but we have a divided, segmented world. And these things permeate our thoughts and our minds. And we begin to shift God over to some place that I think the devil finds great joy in seeing us worry more about what the CDC says than what the Word of God says. Now, folks, I speak with a very strong conviction on this. Because if you listen to the world, you hear fear. Be afraid. Be afraid. Be afraid. Religion can't help you. God, where is He? Well, I want to share some scripture with you in the book of Luke. God is, Jesus is on the, I'm going to start, Michael, in Luke 8:41. Behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now, let me just be clear. This is science. This girl was dying. I've showed up on the scenes of accidents, intensive care units, emergency rooms, where people were dying. We read about it in the paper. People die for various reasons. Members of our fellowship die. That's, you go to the coroner, science signs off on that. This person is deceased, and they try to name what caused the death. But a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, touched his garment, the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And David and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And they all denied it, Peter and they that were with him, saying, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, saying, Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive the virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she had was healed immediately. And Jesus said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Well, I want to tell you, this is science bowing before the Creator. The Gadarene demoniac comes yelling at Jesus, and the devil's speaking out of him, and Jesus commands him, "Be gone, be removed." We are the salt of the earth. The world is looking at you and parents, our children, and saying, "Listen, what are you conveying to them? That we need to be afraid about this, this, and this, or we need to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." I remember as our children were growing up, Christopher, Polly, Robert, one of the children would get sick and have a fever and I was debating whether I should take the child to the pediatrician. Maybe the office was closed or whatever. And so I'd be rocking these children, sometimes all night long, and praying, listening to them breathe. Counting the seconds between breaths. Thinking to myself, should I go to the emergency room now? Man. Fear covers us. I love reading God's Word when God's Word says things that I need to hear that banishes the fear. Folks, we live in a world where we need to be thinking, listen, God's in charge here. And I know other people who believe that. But almost without exception, when my mother was alive, I would call her. And I'd say, Mother, I need to pray. I need you to pray with me. Christopher has a fever. And I just ask you to pray for him. And my mother would say, Malcolm, oh, I sure will. I sure will. I mean, because calling her was like, I need to rally the troops here. I need God on this case. I love it that Polly calls me sometimes and said, Dad, I want you to pray for Colette or James or Hank. You know, they've got a fever. Will you pray with me? Yes, I will. We need God to speak into our world and say, listen, devil, get thee behind me. You know, Jesus said in John 8, you know, your father, the devil, speaking to the Pharisees, is a liar. He's a murderer. Listen to this. There is no truth in him. Those are his words. Where do I go for truth? God's word. Man, I feel like, you know, these guys that have this thing called Gold Rush, where these guys bring in these powerful machines. I saw one guy who went to a fellow that was going to buy a bulldozer, I guess a DC-11 or whatever. And he, a new one. And he asked the salesman, they were there, he tried out a used one and it was monster. And he said, how much is this? And he said, it's going to be $10.5 million, depending on options. I said, don't need the stereo. But let me tell you something. They were searching for gold. But I can go in God's word and find treasures and promises. Folks, we need to be rooted in the word of God, because in the world, it's pushing in, and only God's word can push back. I love it that God's word says in Ephesians that we wrestle not against a flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness, you know, spiritual wickedness in high places. These things are at work in this world, and we need to be able to say, listen, I stand against that. I may not understand it, but I stand against it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy might and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Folks, I need that. We all need that. We are children of the Most High God. I read in Psalm 91 where he says, I'll rescue you. I'll protect you. That needs to be us. We need to have the shield of faith. Of course, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. College students, we need to nourish our spirit as well as reading and studying all the things we have an opportunity to study and read. But back in Luke, the Bible says that verse 49, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter's dead. She's dead. No point in troubling the master. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. And he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. So wait a minute, here's science saying, listen, we know this girl's not, she's not alive. Jesus says, no, she's just sleeping. They're laughing at him. But I love it. Something's happening here. This just kind of came to me because I've seen faith like this. And he put them all out. I think right about that time, the mother of this daughter, ooh, this gets me. said, warm up a plate, freshen up a room. Jesus is in the house. Don't you love it? Jesus is in the house. I have a friend of mine who's a fantastic heart surgeon. He's a member here for many years. His sister's here. And Mike Carmichael's his name, and he would pray with his patients. Let me tell you, Mike was a man of science. He understood. I've got to go in and open this man's chest, and I've got to do a bypass or two or three or four or whatever it takes, and sew him back up and send him home. I personally watched him do two separate surgeries, bypasses. I saw him do his last heart transplant here at Shands. He trained in Jarvik heart, the artificial heart. It took him 2 hours to do that heart transplant. I told him I've spent more time at Jiffy Lube getting my oil changed than it took you to put a new heart in this guy's chest. But Mike was in China, where he would go and practice and teach some of the individuals there, some of the techniques and things that he learned, and he was good, obviously. And, you know, my thinking was, if you're going to have a heart attack, have it between 8 and 5 when Mike's there. Maybe the only chance you have. But anyway, Mike was operating in this village on the head of the Communist Party in that village. And here's Mike, you know, a professed Christian, a believer, sharing Jesus Christ with these Chinese doctors. And so Mike has to stop the heart, you know, get the right veins to transplant around the blocked artery. And Mike couldn't get the heart started. He shocked it. It didn't do anything. He put some adrenaline in it, some epinephrine. It didn't work. He's over there massaging the heart. It's not kicking in. And Mike told me something very, very similar to this. He said, I said, God, if you don't start this man's heart, my witness for Jesus Christ is going to take a beating. Because I believe you sent me. And Mike said that heart started just like that. Folks, there's lordship we must yield to. If you had gone into Shan's emergency room at a time when Mike worked there, and you were told by an EKG or whatever, you've had a really huge vessel blocked here, some call it the Widowmaker, and you're going to die unless we do surgery. And someone in the back of the room, a nurse, would say, well, let's see if Dr. Carmichael's here. And they were to call and get him on this beeper, and they would say to this man, Mike's on the grounds. They're preparing the OR right now. That would be your chance. But let me tell you, folks, in our lives, we need to understand that Jesus is on the grounds. God is in the house. More and more in my life, I have to understand something big is happening and should be happening wherever we go. Someone said every day when you wake up, your prayer should be, not my will, but thine be done in my life. And you be glorified. I want to glorify you, and I ask that you glorify me. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 17 these words. We'll have to look it up, but this is amazing. We got to look at what Christ says here. He says the glory, talking to his Father, that thou gavest me, I have given them. Folks, that just rocks my world. You mean that you intend to do something big in my life? You intend to have an impact through me for the world? Yes, I do. That's the plan. And Jesus said again, the end of John, he says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Something powerful is happening here. Because the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives in us. And he says, I'm not here just to visit. I'm here to be a transforming work in the world. I was asked by a friend of ours who's a member of this church years ago. He was saying, my son's in jail. That happens. Would you go see him? And I asked him, do you know if he's a Christian? He said, Malcolm, I'm just not sure. By the way, I used to work for this guy. And I said, I'll do my best. So I went in, spoke where I would normally have spoken that Sunday. I went and found the individual, and his name was Philip. And I said, Philip, the officer was kind enough to let me in because they were feeding the inmates. This is a very tough time for all the officers because you got to get everybody fed. You got to call names. You got to get food to everybody. So he was kind enough to let me go in. I said, Philip, I have a minute to ask you this. Let me ask you this. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ right now? I need a yes or no answer. I don't have any time here. And he said, I said, Philip, I got to go. So you got to answer me. He said, no. And this is a very, very big guy. And I said, well, Philip, would you pray with me right now to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He said, yes, I would. So I prayed with him. I said, you know, Philip, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him again from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, would you do that, Philip? He said, yes. So I said, just pray with me right now. We're going to pray out loud. Listen to this. I was talking to Philip. He was right here. Philip and I began to pray. I heard a noise building as we prayed. Jesus, I've sinned. Father, I've sinned. I've broken your law. I come today to ask you to forgive me. It got louder. I want to make Jesus Christ my Lord today. It got louder. Come into my heart and I receive your salvation, your sacrifice for my sins. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you that today you have become my Lord and Savior. I had my hand on his shoulder. I opened my eyes. There were about 15 guys around us. All praying. Folks, listen. Jesus says, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. There's some thirsty people in there. Robert referred to this. These are men who live in darkness, who've never seen the light of God. But I have a chance to pray with them and invite them into a relationship with Christ. A fellow who goes in the jail with me, he told me one time I spoke to the seniors, adults, and whatever that group is called, I don't know, they go by many names, but they were older than me. After I spoke, Steve said, Malcolm, I want to go to the jail with you. And I laughed. I said, really? Like this, like, you know what you're doing? By the way, I'm not recruiting this morning. But he said, yeah. I said, all right. So I told him, you know, you got to go through this process, whatever. He came back and he said, yeah, I'm done. I've got it. He's a witness. It's really interesting. He'll ask a person at the gas station, 7-Eleven, grocery store, yard sales. You know, he'll just ask them, can you tell me how to get to heaven? And, you know, very often, no, not really. He said, can I tell you? And if they say, yeah, no, he said, well, tell me. I want to make sure I got it right. And he has led countless of people, numbers of people, to Jesus Christ. I started going to the jail in 1971. And I remember that day very clearly because the officer, he opened the doors with a wheel. And as I went in, he was the one that called and asked they'd send somebody down. This is at the city jail. And he told me as I was going in, he said, listen, if a fight breaks out in here, I can't come in. No kidding. Yeah. You see, if I go in, they get out. I said, okay, we should explain that. So I went in. This guy, Russell Clemens, was in there. And I invited him to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for his sins and rose again from the dead. Folks, Russell's speaking, pastoring a church in Denison, Texas this morning. Russell invited me out one time to speak. He's done that a couple times, actually, and we were sitting across the table at lunch or whatever. And yeah, I was saying, Russell, thank you for inviting me to come out here and speak. He said, Malcolm, listen to me. He said, I'm alive today because of you. Not that he was insinuating that I gave him eternal life. He was saying, I am alive because you pointed me to life. Years ago, I came back from Europe. I hitchhiked around Europe for 3 months. I wrote this story and gave it to my children. If you have that book, you're one of my children. Or you stole it. Robert took a copy of that book to LaBrie, where Francis Schaeffer lived, and asked him if he could put it in the library. He put a leather cover on it and had it printed up. But this guy picked me up. I was holding a sign that said Morehead City. And he picked me up, and as I got in the car, I said, you know, I was pretty excited to get a ride. I said, where are you going? He said, what does the sign say? I said, Morehead, that's great, because that was right by where I was going. And so we talked for 2 hours, and I began to tell him what God had done in my life, and that he needed a relationship with God more than he needed his next breath of air. I read maybe in that same book, one of the books Francis Schaeffer wrote, that a chaplain was speaking at a prison in England. And he finished speaking. One of the inmates came up to him, and here's what he said. If I believed what you just said, I'd crawl across England on broken glass to tell my friends. And I shared Jesus Christ with this guy. His name was Clyde. For 2 hours. Turns out he knew my brothers. Clyde was going to the beach to sell weed. Not the kind that grows in my yard. I guess you would say he was a drug dealer. So I came back down here, and I was living in a tent, believe it or not. I can leave anytime y'all want me to, but I was living in a tent with cows. And Clyde found me. His daddy was a professor at UNC. He found me. And here's what he said. I want to know more about Jesus. Buddy, you came to the right place. Today, Clyde starts churches up in North Carolina. He builds them up. He brings in men and women of God. They formulate a plan to build a church. And Clyde moves on to somewhere else and he starts another church. That's what he does. Folks, when Jesus took this woman, this little girl, by the hand, and he called him and said, "Maid, arise," and her spirit came again, and she rose straightway, and he commanded to give her meals. And her parents were astonished, and he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Folks, I want to tell you something. God is ready to do far more than we're willing to let him do. Amen. College students, you're the generation that says, listen, yeah, there's all this technology out here. I'm enamored by iPhones and computers and all this stuff, but I'm going to bend the knee to Jesus Christ. I'm going to make him my Lord and Savior. And I'm going to say to him, Father, not my will, but thine be done. We need to make Jesus Christ Lord of our life. Yeah, I think to myself, you know, what do we do? How do we live in this time? I think how we live is we come back to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know, I've told these guys in jail before, guys, you know, we have all these laws. We have state laws, federal laws, county laws, city laws. There are 10 commandments and we can't keep them because we're flawed people. We're a fallen people. The Bible says it so well when it says that all we like sheep have gone astray and we've gone everyone into his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. So let me tell you, it's possible to profess Christ and not know him. It's possible. I grew up in a pastor's home, and I saw a lot. I saw a lot. A lot of these men that I meet, some of them are deacons, pastors. One man I met was a businessman of the year in Gainesville, Florida. He made a phone call and the FBI was listening. He went to prison. I was personal friends with this guy. Jerry Brandon knew him better than I did. Folks, I want to tell you, I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but we know he is. We don't know the day of our death, but we know we're going to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Young people, do you know young people die? My brother died when he was 19 in an automobile accident. He left me something. He left me something. This is what he left me. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But now, as always, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I think Jesus is in the house. I think he's calling people to him this morning. I think there are people here who just need to say, listen, I've been faking it for a while. I'm a good person. I act good. Everybody believes I'm good. I'm a nice woman, a nice man. But there's something not right. This morning, I want to step up and say, Jesus is Lord. These other things, this world that I live in, these other voices I hear, I've decided to hear one voice above all others. and that is the voice of Jesus Christ. I'm going to spend the rest of my life studying His Word and being the light in this world that I should be. Dee and I have been watching Paul and Kristen's children for the last 10 days. The reason I know that, I was there. Wonderful children. But every morning I'd take them to school, at least 4 days a week. I'd get down to the park, to the stoplight there around Westside, Westwood Church, wherever they go to school there. And the light was usually red. I said, "Fellas, I'm going to pray right now for you." Lord, these are men of God in training. Let your light shine on them. Anoint them with your Holy Spirit. May they be lights in a fallen world. May the love of God shine in their life. May Jesus Christ be visible in them. Amen. Well, I'm going to put his hat on and say amen. We need to pray for one another. We need to support each other. We need to bring this world together and understand God is God of all. There is no science without Christ. The Bible says all things were made by Him. Made through Him is nothing that was made that wasn't made by Him. We need to bring ourselves into that unity, as it were, with Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, I live in this world. You're God of all. Show me how I can allow you to come out in me to a fallen world." Robert, why don't you come up? We're going to have an invitation song. I told you I wanted to be clear that I was going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised Him again from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've been doing this for 51 years, close to it, and men who were at death's door spiritually, dead men walking, I have seen God change lives. I was in a restaurant one night with Dee, and a man came up to me. I saw him across the room, big guy, and he was talking to somebody, kept looking over to me and looking over to me, looking over. Finally he came over to the table and he said, "Do you go to the jail and do you play guitar?" I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "You're the only one I haven't thanked for what God has done in my life." He said, "I went back and got a GED degree. He said, I've started 4 businesses. I own 3 homes. He said, God has been good to me." In that restaurant, standing at our table, and he said, "I just want to thank you." I didn't order dessert that night. I'd already gotten it. God is good, folks. Be a light in this world. As they sing this invitation, I want to invite you to come down. There's some people who come down here that known for years and years, who receive people. I'll be glad to pray with you. But I want to tell you something. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't wait till you're senior, you started your business, or married, or whatever. Right now, God wants to be Lord of your life. And I invite you to come. These are desperate times, folks. And we need strong men and women of God to stand up and say, "Jesus is Lord. I trust Him. He's the God of all."
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.